Homage to the noble, the blessed, the perfectly enlightened one. So we pay homage to the Buddha, the one with the noble qualities, the highest and best qualities. For instance, the quality of great compassion. We see that the Buddha cultivated merit and spiritual virtues, parami, for so many lifetimes, sacrificing his life in lifetimes without count for the benefit of all beings, in order to help all beings realize freedom from suffering, freedom from the cycle of birth and death, to help beings, to help humans, to help all sentient beings, beings that experience the cycle of birth and death. Because we see that all beings, they experience dukkha, the stress and suffering, and they can't find a way out. They just keep on being born and dying, born and dying, born and dying for countless lifetimes. There was a wise person who once said that if our corpses didn't disintegrate or decompose, then the world would be completely filled with bones, filled with the skeletons of our previous lives, because we've died before a great many times, beyond counting. And it's full of suffering like this. So there's these qualities of ignorance, craving, and attachment that take us to cycle through the round of birth and death over and over again. So cycling around through birth and death, being dying, having died, then being born again, and then having been born, then the defilements and craving take the mind to chase after becoming in birth and chase after sense experience again. And if one, having died, is reborn in a human or heavenly realm, then one can realize full awakening, arahantship, or even Buddhahood. One can reduce their suffering. But there's also lower than that, like the animal realm, the hungry ghost, the asura, the hell realms. And then it becomes much more difficult in these realms. And most of the time, the defilements take beings to these lower realms. So one who has wisdom will seek to overcome all defilement. And so we see this is the quality of great wisdom, because there's no other being, no other mind that could overcome the defilements by itself. It's only the fully self-awakened Buddha that can do that. And so the Buddha built spiritual virtue for countless lifetimes, and cultivated happiness and rapture, and cultivated many different qualities to bring the mind to awakening. Then the Buddha came to teach beings that were able to be trained. And a great many of these beings realized arahantship, or full awakening, or other levels of noble disciplehood, both monks and novices, bhikkhunis and female novices, male lay people, female lay people, all the way up until the present day. So for ourselves, we have this very good opportunity to study the Dhamma. Some individuals have a character type, a faith character, and so they recollect the qualities of the Buddha, of great purity, great wisdom, great compassion. In this way, rapture arises, and one can feel this very deeply in the heart. The hairs stand on end. Rapture comes in waves or thrills throughout the body. The heart feels very full, content with this rapture. and all the hairs stand on end, and one can have a lot of tears coming. And sometimes it's a great deal of tears that keep flowing from the eyes to the point where sometimes the monk's robes gets all wet. And so this is the heart feeling very full. And there's no need to feel shy about this. There's no need to be embarrassed. It's the result of merit and goodness, the result of practicing generosity, virtue, and meditation. And sometimes this rapture comes like a jolt or a bolt of lightning, or like shivers or thrills. And so sometimes it's like that. Or sometimes it's like a feeling that's tingly or bubbly throughout the body. And the body can feel very light, like it's floating in the air, or it's big or small. And sometimes the body feels so light, like it's floating, like it's not there at all. So the heart feels really full and content. And the rapture can get so strong that one can't speak at all. One just feels very full and happy. So this is rapture. A practitioner that gets a gathered mind in samadhi, then rapture can arise like this. And some practitioners might think or doubt, or what's going on, what is this? Like when I was a child, we would chant to praise the qualities of the Buddha in a melodious chant in the Thai language. So it was my native language. And this rapture would arise. I'd feel very full, content, my hairs would stand on end, but I didn't know what it was, or I didn't know what was going on. I would ask my friends, and no one else had this experience, so I felt like it was a strange occurrence. But my mind felt very happy and full and peaceful. Also reading the story of the Buddha giving his children away to the Brahmin in order to realize complete awakening, to realize the Bodhi Jnana. And in that lifetime, the Buddha, as a Bodhisattva, really loved his children, but he needed to sacrifice and give to perfect the spiritual virtue of giving. And it brought a lot of pain to his heart, but he did it for the sake of the knowledge of awakening. And he did it for all beings, so that he could then teach all beings. So the Bodhisattva gave away his children. And when reading about this, I felt very touched deep in my heart that the Bodhisattva loved his children so much, but he gave them up in order to realize awakening, to be the Buddha for the sake of all beings. And so I felt very full and happy and content, very joyful reading this. But I didn't know why, I didn't know what was going on. It's just when I read it, I felt very happy and full. If there had been someone to teach me at that time, they would have said, oh, you should read this story often, recollect it often, and that way you can have rapture and contentedness and fullness arise every day, to have samadhi arise, to progress in your meditation quickly. But at that time, I didn't know about that, and I didn't ask anyone about it either. So it was an experience that arose, stayed for a while, and ceased. So for Dhamma practitioners, we recollect the qualities of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. We build our merit and virtue to give rise to rapture of one type or another. And when there's rapture to a high level, then this quality of sukha, or happiness or bliss, starts to arise. When rapture is full, then leads on to sukha. We can compare it to like when someone has an illness and they can't cure it, there's no treatment. So whatever treatment they do, it doesn't help. But then at one point they hear that there's a medicine that can cure that illness, and they can go find that medicine. So just hearing that, they'd feel happy and rapturous. And then having got that medicine, then they can care for that illness and get even more rapture, even more happiness. And then when the illness is dispelled and the illness is cured, they'd feel this quality of sukha, this bliss or happiness. So we can compare it like that. So before we experience samadhi, we might wonder, well, what's the sukha? What is it like? So we have these qualities, these jhanic factors of sustained attention, or applied attention, sustained attention, rapture, sukha, happiness, one-pointedness. This can come about, for instance, when we know the in and out breathing. We have vitaka, vichara, applied attention, sustained attention. And this isn't thinking, it's not thought. But we know this, we know it with mindfulness and clear awareness. We know the in and out breathing. So we have this rapture, this fullness, the body and mind feel light. And then it comes to the point where the body feels quite firm and solid, like a rock, like a heavy rock, very firm, like that. So this is sukha that arises with samadhi. And when we practice like this, then the thoughts reduce and reduce and reduce, gradually get less and less. And then in the end, the mind becomes still. The mind is still and peaceful and quiet. The mind's not interested in any sounds that are arising. Previously, the sounds would be a distraction, but now the mind is gathered and peaceful. There's the applied attention, sustained attention, rapture, happiness, one-pointedness. So the mind reaches this ekagata, one-pointedness. So we're cultivating samadhi like this. We contemplate whatever our meditation object is, or we are with the in and out breathing. And these are ways to bring the mind to samadhi like this. In the beginning, we might not feel we have samadhi, the mind's not gathered. So we can use wisdom to train the mind to become peaceful and collected. So we use wisdom to contemplate the five aggregates, the body and mind, rupa and nama. We have mindfulness to watch over the body, to see the body as the four natural elements, earth, air, fire, and water. So first we have the aspects of the body that are hard or solid, whether it's a lot of hardness or just a little bit. It's this earth element. So we see it as a heap of earth, like the nails, the hair of the head, hair of the body, the teeth, the skin, the bones, various organs. These are all the earth element. Then we have the water element, like saliva, urine, oil of the joints, lymph, blood, digestive fluids, and so on. So this is a heap of water. And there's a heap of air, a heap of fire. So it's just these four piles or four heaps. We gather them all together and we call it the body. And the mind takes that as mine, as self. But we separate it out into four piles of earth, air, fire, water. And where do we find the self? Is the self in the pile of earth? Is the self in the pile of air, in the pile of fire, in the pile of water? Where is the self to be found? So we see that there's no self to be found there. And we take it further, and we see that the earth, air, fire, and water, they disintegrate, degrade, and dissipate. And there's no self to be found there at all. So the mind studies like this in order to understand, to see that there's no self, no me or mine to be found there. We gather it together, we make it, we pack it all together, And we take it as self, but we separate it out into its component parts, and we see it's not self. We start to understand. And when we start to understand, then rapture arises. We see like this. We see that it's all convention, that everything in the world is just a convention, that everyone having been born must die, that everything in the world without exception degrades, disintegrates and passes away, and it's constantly degrading, constantly disintegrating. So that's true for everything in the world, things that are human-made and things that are not, things of nature, they all arise and cease. So we see this right in front of us. We see it with insight. We see convention clearly. And having seen this, then we see liberation. This is the mind that's above the world. And when the mind sees like this, then the rapture is very strong for 3 days and three nights continuously, or a whole month. The mind feels very full and happy, and one really sees the value of Dhamma practice. So we keep practicing to care for it so that it can arise like this. Sometimes we feel samadhi, this happiness and fullness, like we're floating. The mind gathers together. And if we've had this already, then we need to have care, to keep having effort and perseverance to bring the mind to samadhi. And sometimes these obstacles or hindrances arise, like aversion, dosa, like a sound arises that we feel is disturbing our mind. We're trying to enter samadhi, which we feel like is so difficult to do, but then the sound comes up and disturbs our mind, makes our mind not able to enter samadhi, or makes our mind feel not peaceful. So then we get angry, and the kilesas cover over the mind again. This is the mind being lost, deluded again, and it's hard to do. We feel like we're close to entering samadhi, and then a perceived obstruction arises, and we exit from that samadhi, and we feel angry. So this is being stuck in the samadhi. If we exit samadhi without mindfulness, then we can get angry right there. So whether the samadhi is good or not good, whether the mind's peaceful or not peaceful, we need to let go so that we don't give rise to aversion. We train the mind to have peacefulness and mindfulness as well. It's not just only samadhi and only the pleasure of samadhi, because if it's like that, then we exit the pleasure of samadhi, we feel aversion or anger, and that's no good. So we need to have mindfulness and clear awareness to care for the mind all the time. So when we train in this way, we see nature according to truth. We have faith arise, and this becomes a faith that's firmer, more firmly established, because we've seen already. We see people in the world traveling here, there, going here, there, and we feel like they're going incredibly fast, like they're just running headlong into death, that all the lives of people must end in death. And having died, what can we take with us from this world? Well, we can't take anything for sure. So this is seeing the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death, seeing the drawbacks in samsara. And we feel disillusioned with it, but we still have greed, aversion, and delusion. We've seen already, so therefore we seek a way out. It's like we see a fire. We see that everything is burning with old age, sickness, and death, and it's a cool fire. But we see that the mind tends to get lost in the pleasures of the world. So this is like someone who's just lying down and letting the fire consume them, or lying down and dying. This is the mind that's lost in sight, sounds, taste, smell, touch and mind objects. Like we go to work, we engage in our livelihood, and it's day, then it's night, it's day, then it's night, it's day, then it's night. So the days and nights ceaselessly are arising and passing away, arising and passing away. We get lost in the world, and we keep getting older and older as this goes on. If we're 60, maybe we just have 20 or 30 years left, and then we're dead already. Or however much time we have left, it's a short time. So having seen this, we seek a way out. We seek an escape from this predicament. And we see that the Buddha taught us to have virtue, to have sila. And the benefit of virtue is happiness. And further than that, we train in nekama, or renunciation, to train the mind in meditation, to see the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death, to seek a way out. So all of you see the drawbacks in sensory phenomena, seeking escape from all suffering, seeking a way out. So therefore we train in mindfulness, clear awareness, samadhi, to bring about wisdom. We have virtue as our foundation already, and the quality of generosity that you care for. But we train the mind to let go or abandon the sense of self. And in the end, wisdom arises to see earth, air, fire, and water, to see it as not a me, a mine, a you or yours, not a self. To see convention. Seeing convention, we see emptiness. We see there's nothing there. That all names in the world, all labels, they're all just convention. So the mind gathers together, the mind becomes very bright, insight arises, knowledge arises, the heart feels full, and something beyond words, beyond language, this rapture is very full, and it's more than we've ever thought it ever could be, beyond what we've ever dreamed of. That's how it is. It's something we've heard about before or learned about before, but when it really arises for us, the happiness, pleasure, and rapture, it's more than we've ever imagined it could be. So you give your time, your effort, perseverance in your practice, and when you do that, you do get the results, you get the fruits. You seek an escape from the world. And seeking a way out, you can ordain or you choose to stay at home. But in whatever case, you know convention as convention. And you live with convention, but your heart is liberated. Your mind is liberated. So you have mindfulness and wisdom in the world. Then you have effort and perseverance to keep practicing onward. The faith and generosity, virtue and meditation is full, completely full. So one keeps training, keeps practicing to train the mind to the end of the path. We don't just let the mind go and waste our time to do useless things. But for instance, on the Lunar Observance Day, we observe the 8 precepts, or it could be on any day of the week, we do the 8 precepts, like one day per week. Or if we have more strength and energy, we can do the 8 precepts on multiple days of the week. And if we have a family, we can do the 5 precepts, and maybe the 8 precepts just one day per week. And this way we have the time to meditate, to bhavana, to bring the mind to peace and stillness, to give rise to wisdom. So we have this quality of peace and stillness, then wisdom can arise, and we contemplate. The body and mind is stressful, impermanent, not self. We see the body is just a body. It's not a me or mine, not a self. In this way the mind is empty. The mind goes beyond the world, above the world. This is Lokuttara. So we cultivate our spiritual virtues in this way, and we do this all the time. And then one day, the day comes where the mind is cool, it's peaceful, the mind gathers together, rapture arises, the mind feels at ease. And this is when Dhamma practice is easy. We don't have to force it or control it, but the sitting and walking meditation happens on its own because the mind's not tired of it, not weary of it, because rapture is caring for the mind. In the beginning, we do need to force it or control the mind. If we feel lazy, then we do it. If we don't feel lazy, then we do it. In this way, we have a good strength and energy to sit and walk meditation, to bring the mind to ease. In the end, the mind gathers and we see clearly. We see convention, see liberation, abandon the sense of self. We destroy the fetters, that which tie the mind and bind the mind to suffering. So in this case, one has destroyed the fetters to one degree already, but then one works on an even subtler level to bring the mind to greater freedom. Then the mind knows for itself that the Buddha is right here in the heart like this. One sees for oneself, it's confirmed for oneself, that when one sees the Dhamma, one sees the Buddha, that the Buddha is in the Dhamma, and this arises on its own. One sees directly in one own experience. So for all of you, whether monastics or laity, you have this good opportunity, this great good fortune, that you've met with the liberating teachings of the Buddha. The door is open to Buddha. So may you have perseverance. May you practice. May you not be heedless in the Buddha's dispensation. We see around the world there are many that are Buddhist or believe in the Buddhist teachings. In Thailand as well, great many Buddhists. And a great many people support and care for the Buddha Sasana, the Buddhist dispensation, like all the Thai kings going back far into history, all the way until the present king, King Rama the X. They support the Buddha Sasana, support Buddhism, help Buddhism to spread in Thailand and around the world. So for ourselves, we all practice together to give rise to understanding. We pay homage, we incline the mind to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha to truly understand these four elements of earth, air, fire, and water. So we practice like this, and just this is the Four Noble Truths of suffering, its cause, its cessation, and the path to cessation. So we teach the mind like this. Whenever the mind clings or is lost in sense impressions and moods, then we teach the mind not to cling, that it's something unstable, uncertain. We teach the mind every day. So may you do this, may you practice like this, to give rise to peace and collectedness. May you practice every day, and practice continuously, practice in a way that's connected, smooth and continuous, to give rise to samadhi. So we contemplate the body, like described before, contemplate asubha, the not beautiful aspects. And firstly, that starts with sanya, memory and perception, that we've seen already, learned already. We see that the body is something not beautiful, it's something that will decompose and rot and die. And when we see this, the mind is very relaxed and happy and joyful. But when the mind has liking and attraction covering over the mind, then the mind feels ill at ease and feels cramped. But when the mind sees the not beautiful, the mind feels easeful, open and spacious. So when we have samadhi, when we have peace, we contemplate to see even more clearly. Then the mind gathers together and sees emptiness. In this way, doubts are dispelled. This is the Gotrabhu Citta, Gotrabhu Jnana, the change of lineage mind, the change of lineage insight. In this way, we overcome all doubt. We have understanding. We give rise to true wisdom. And this knowing, it just needs a little bit. The mind gathers together and sees not self. So we see this, and this comes about through contemplating the body. Then we contemplate on an even more subtle level. We see these elements of earth, air, fire, and water as like currents or streams, like they're very small, very subtle. And we see that they're not there at all, that there's nothing here at all in the whole world, in the whole universe, that it's all empty, but there's really nothing there. And when we separate out these elements subtler and subtler like that, we see it's all empty. And this is something that happens on its own, it develops on its own. So firstly, we start with faith. We practice with faith at the beginning, and the faith keeps increasing and increasing bit by bit. We gradually know the Dhamma for ourselves until we really see the Dhamma directly for ourselves. And we see that the Dhamma gives results outside of time, not according to time. So all of you gathered here on this retreat, on site and online, may you all set your hearts on this practice. May you study, may you practice. May all of you meet with success. May you all be well and grow in blessings.